"I'm going sailing," I said.
"Me too," said Tim, my pontoon neighbour.
"First sail of the season," I queried.
"Yes," said Tim, "how about you?"
I nodded in agreement, and we both shook our heads and raised our eyebrows in bewildered and resigned incredulity. It was one of those shared moments that expressed the universal mental state of the leisure sailor, and one of those moments that makes non-sailors wonder why we do it at all. Come to think of it, it was also one of those moments that makes sailors wonder why we do it. I mean, it's absurd. It's July the 28th, and Marlin's about to have her very first outing of the year. Tim's got an excuse. His boat is big, wooden, old and beautiful, and requires at least 13 months annual maintenance to keep her in fine fettle. I've got none, though. Marlin's been there, in that very spot since last November, and all that's happened is that her mooring warps, casually cleated off 8 months ago, have each turned green and hardened into a gnarled turkey's fist. Or is it a monk's head? I'm never sure which is which. Other than that, Marlin seems fine. In fact, she's better off for neglect, for whenever in the past I've attempted any routine maintenance, it has invariably led to breakage, cost and swearing. It was a lesson that took me years to learn. So here we are. It's 7:30 a.m, an hour before high water on a Saturday, and the boatyard slumbers still. Or so it seems. My mighty Mercury 3.3 rasps into life on the third pull, and still, no apparent signs of life. But that's to underestimate the deviousness of berth holders. For I know that in the dark shadows behind every porthole on every boat, there are eyes and iPhones watching me with gleeful malevolence, hoping for a cock-up to upload onto FaceSpace or U-Book. I'm under pressure. Over the last 7 days, I've been running through various pontoon exit strategies, from A to F, and opt for G, which is one I'd only just thought of. I raise the mainsail into a light headwind, walk Marlin back, hop on, and motor out. It worked. No one died, and I didn't hit anything. Honest. I'm not just saying that for insurance purposes. The next part of the plan was to hook up with Steve Pegley and Daisy, his 1920s Hilliard four-tonner. But as I pass him still on his mooring, I know he's going to be some hours behind. His boat's a gaffer, you see, and he's clasping several ropes in each hand, standing on others, clamping more in his teeth, and looking skyward to the top of the mast with that expression of bewildered confusion that is the natural state of all gaff sailors. I unfurl my headsail, and for the sake of etiquette, take my fenders in. If I don't, I'm bound to end up being cyberbullied on my tube. After spending several hours learning how to sail again, jilling about, heaving to, and giving up trying to figure out what telltales tell you, Steve and Daisy eventually crawl into view, although forward movement is actually quite hard to detect on a gaffer. It's then I realise how rusty I am, because despite using all my knowledge, I find it impossible to get Marlin to go as slowly as Daisy. As a last resort, I even considered motoring in reverse to help Steve keep up. In the end, I settle for sailing in circles, buzzing him like a mosquito while he puts the kettle on. Say what you like about gaffers, but they do have facilities. It was then we attempted a daring mid-ocean boat-to-boat transfer. With Daisy hove to, I came up close-hauled, then luffed up as Steve passed over a cup of a foaming coffee-style drink. I wonder what he put in it. Anyway, not a drop was spilled, and neither did our boats bump or even caress as we passed within inches. It doesn't get much better than that, although real coffee would have clinched it. The sun had burned off the haze, and the breeze had filled to the top of a two, but I felt so free and reckless I didn't even put a reef in. We anchored in tandem off Bradwell Beach, swam in the sea, and picnicked ashore, admiring our little ships. Well, more precisely, we each admired our own and ridiculed each other's. Then we weighed anchor and set sail back upriver on the early flood and a filling breeze to anchor off Osey Island and join Malden Yacht Club's annual picnic, where most of the entertainment was provided by Daisy dragging her anchor and Steve giving chase in his inflatable. We all agreed that in the right conditions, i.e. at anchor, gaffers can actually move quite fast. At 8 p.m. I motored back into my berth. but forgetting that the gear lever needs a positive yank to take it out of gear, I came in too hot, bumped the pontoon, grabbed a cleat at full stretch, and just about stopped Marlin before she launched herself over the staging through Tim's brand new skylight to touch down in a bowl of banana custard on his galley table. For once, though, no one was watching. The perfect end to a perfect day. And just to think, non-sailors wonder why we do it.